Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is a dear friend of mine, Evie Lorgan. Evie Lorgan, alienlovebite.com, evelorgan.com, is a longtime colleague of mine, and she's done fantastic work about the alien love bite, the dark side of Cupid, a lot of information about hyperdimensional interference, deep, dark, negative alien, reptilian, deep black military stuff. So without any further ado, Eve Lorgan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, it's good to come back. Thank you for having me, James.
Oh, the pleasure is ours, Evie. It's so good to see you and talk to you again. Tell us a bit about what's been going on and you know, what you've seen in the field and you know, feel free to bring up any topics you feel need to be discussed today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in the whole truth movement right now with a lot of, you know, the post-election stuff in the U.S. And there's a lot of what I call it the eventitis, where there's always some kind of calamity or false flag coming. And, you know, there's so much of that going on, like people preparing for, you know, the collapse and, you know, weather changes and whatever, you know, and it gets real crazy real quick. But I can't say that all of that is not necessarily true. And it seems like things definitely are heating up, but it's really not anything more that we had known even back in the 90s when, remember when we did research together back in San Diego and, you know, we were colleagues with someone who was very close to Bill Cooper and we had shared a lot of things even back then about things that were around the corner that were going to happen and, you know, about people come knocking at the door with the, you know, the coded groups of people who are, you know, going to be basically detained or re-educated or taken out, you know, that kind of thing. So we've been around that kind of research for a long time. And it seems like it's taken a lot longer than we thought for this whole New World Order agenda to really start unfolding. But I do believe that a lot of it is still happening and it's going according to whatever schedule is going to bring it out. I don't think it's going to stop.
Yeah.
But
I would
as far
agree
as recent,
that.
Yeah.
Anytime soon,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt. So really, I spent the last year actually doing more personal work with study and some writing and more time to rest and reflect and do more research and just needed things that I need to do on my own. So I've been kind of quiet, actually. And we do have a new video out. Laura Leon and I have done a couple videos. One was just released yesterday about the counterfeit spirit AI and the alien metal god. And then just today I released an article, which is actually a follow-up of, remember Marit, the Scandinavian MyLab
yes.
abductee,
yes.
whom I interviewed, gosh, since 2011. And so this is actually the fourth follow-up, which is quite insightful. If any of the listeners remember that Marit was the Scandinavian MyLab who I interviewed, who had many abduction experiences. She had a lot of lucidity in her experiences with respect to lucid awareness. And she did the Dr. Corrado Malanga simulation liberation techniques, which I've have done with clients in the past and learned a lot from Dr. Corrado Malanga's work. And so she learned a lot, liberated herself, and then discovered, you know, different aspects of her consciousness and how the aliens were parasiting and how the MyLab operations and the cloning was going. And so those first three interviews that I did with her were quite insightful, and they're still very relevant in terms of, you know, what's happening on these deeper levels of the MyLabs. Because, as you know, James, I mean, right now, there's so much going on in the secret space program kind of disclosure movement. And even that terminology being used is something that is, I don't know, maybe in the past 5 years really has taken a big leap in terms of how this narrative is being defined and the bells
directed.
And whistles
yeah, how it's
of
being
it.
Directed also. It's in some
yeah, way. And how it's being directed. And so that's something to take a look at from what we've learned in the past and also my contact, Marit, who has shared with me for many years. I mean, this has actually been almost 8 years now. So this last one was really good because she actually has been investigating the aspect of not only lucid dream awareness in her dreams, but also what's happening in abductions in these altered states of consciousness, as well as physical, because we know there's a physical element and there's a military element. And in her case, there was a lot of the medical experimentation going on. And she, you know, had the reptilian and the Draco stuff. So not to marginalize the reality of it, because it's still just as real for many people now as it was for her. She claims that her abductions have stopped based on her recovery work and self-inquiry into how her mind operates and how the artificial construct, what she calls the AI ego states, is very key in how it's programming our minds and our reality and how we experience things and what's drawn into our co-created reality. So, but I think it was really insightful, and her interview is, it's very long. It's actually an essay. And she enters into, I asked her several questions about things we've talked about before, like certain lineages that are followed in abductions, like what we call the starfire lineages or the goddess lines, or any lines that are of interest to someone out there, obviously. So she did some genetic tracing and found the mitochondrial strain that was passed on matrilineally that she felt was related to what we're calling the originals and the starfire aspect, which are the very psychic ones and the ones who tend to have more of these, what we used to call that, the X factor qualities. Okay. We had to change our sound. And so I guess to go back to what we were talking about, I have a new interview out that's a follow-up to the Scandinavian MyLab named Marit, who I worked with since 2011, and actually before that. And so this is a fourth and a follow-up of how she is understanding the nature of her experiences with respect to the alien abduction phenomena and the MyLab element, as well as, you know, targeting and the spiritual warfare element and all of that. So I think it's very insightful and it's very deep. In fact, she added a lot of links to scientific articles that relate to how she's understanding Jungian archetypes and the collective unconscious and what she's calling the AI ego states, which has to do with how there's an ancient artificial intelligence that works within us and also outside of us that is actually programming our reality. And it's very key in what's happening within the alien intrusion and MyLab experiences. And I think this is something that we've discussed before, James. Our mentor, Barbara Bartholik, as well as Dr. Carla Turner, we knew way back even then in the 90s that the abduction phenomena and the intrusiveness of how we experience these things is going on actually for more than just the abductee population, that it's affecting probably everybody in some way, and that most people don't have the awareness to recognize how it's happening on their level of consciousness. But I do think that there are certain bloodlines and lineages which are more keenly hunted down and followed and exploited, like in the MyLab programs. And we know this from the people we've worked with that you've interviewed in the past as well, like Lorena. And we used to talk about the X factor, and the metagene factor is another term we've used, where now we're starting to see that this goes back to what we're calling the original starfire goddess lineages. And this can be present in males and females, but it seems to be passed on more matrilineally. And so this is something that we brought up in the recent article. And I mean, I could do a screen share real quick so you could just see the topic of it. Let me do that real quick. Here we go. I'm not sure how much you can see it, but this is just the title, Stopping Abductions and Apprehending the AI Ego Mind States, a follow-up with Marit. And I'm going to stop sharing because it you really can't see much, and I can't do both at the same time. So, yeah, I just wanted to show that that's the new thing. I just put it up today, actually. And there's a lot of links on there.
We'll provide a link to it to the Cosmic Switchboard website as well.
Yeah. Because she has never really done an interview in person or on radio. And most of her stuff has only been in writing. And so she's Scandinavian, and a lot of it is translated into English, but she's actually a very good writer herself. So when you read the article, you'll see that she has very a good knowledge of science and the links of a lot of the newer scientific topics with artificial intelligence and deep computer learning and how that's happening in our mind and our dreams. And the Jungian studies, she studied that in depth, like all of the books, including, you know, the Gnostic Seven Sermons of the Dead, which relate very much to, as we observe more keenly what's happening in our own mind states, in our lucid dream states. And this takes years, really, to observe and to contemplate and really just really be aware that these archetypes keep reemerging, and that many of these archetypes is part of the artificial, what she's calling the artificial intelligence ego states, and that the collective unconscious that Jung talked about is very much connected to what she's calling the artificial intelligence programming that's a larger part of, let's say, the matrix, and what I believe that the ancient Gnostics knew about what they're calling the demiurge. So that brought into a lot of different links and discussions with her and I on that I put on in the article, like the Starfire goddess lineages that she came from in her, it's actually a Finnish Sami family from the indigenous forest of Finland. And that I don't know if she's the last of her mitochondrial line, but she figured out that when she did her tracing and her ancestry, that her, I think it was her mother's great-grandparents or came to the U.S. in 1897. And she believes at that time, that's how they started being targeted based on their lineage. Because there's always like a kind of targeting that happens with some of these lines. And I think you've noticed that too, James, that there's many where they're just hunted down and they would be ordinarily normal people, but they're having these bizarre experiences that are above and beyond the norm. And it appears they are tracking some. So we talk about
and
that.
Just to interject really quickly, this predates all this technology, DARPA, NSA, et cetera, like there's this persistent notion that all of this is just voice to skull. All of this is just mind control inspired by humans. But people have been hearing voices. People have been getting visions. People have been having abductions and taken to other realms and underground, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's in the lore of just about every culture in the world. So going back countless millennia, so this is not a new thing. So just to finish that point and then please continue, they may not have had, at least overtly, the technological means to scan people, to track people, to, you know, divine, if you will, their genetic heritage, but they certainly had the occultic means, if you will, the supernatural means, if you will, to do so.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's true, and that there's always this occult element that if one observes deeply and really starts uncovering their experiences in their family line, that there's always that spiritual component and the occult component where there's a connection sometimes to what we're calling the bloodline people, where they might be connected to a blood oath from a Masonic lineage or a witchcraft thing, but not in all cases. I think that there's definitely a lineage where they're tracking some who have the abilities based on their, what we can call it, soul frequency or spirit frequency that's coming through certain genetic lineages as well. And they do get targeted. And so I think a lot of the family lines are actually, they tend to target them to corral them into what I'm calling the agreements of entrapment that enable them to exploit those bloodlines more. And that might be why some of those lineages are connected, let's say, to high-level Freemasonry, where, you know, let's say their father or their uncle or their grandfather was like a 33rd degree Mason kind of thing, or they were connected to the Templars, or they were connected to some secret society or something of the other. So in her case, it was ancient Sami, which is the Scandinavian indigenous shamanic traits. So I thought that was really interesting. And so we had a discussion about many of, let's say, the people who are very sensitive have this perception that not everybody is the same. There's different kinds of people and humans, for lack of a better term. We talked about this on our hyperdimensional interference video, as well as the alien love bite one, where there was mention of, you know, this whole organic portal thing and how many of us who were, let's say, caught up in an alien love bite or a dark cupid or some kind of manipulated, handled relationship or connection, there was always the question, you know, is this person some kind of, you know, like character in the matrix or organic portal that's run by either a program or an outright entity of some sort, like a reptilian. So we basically came to the understanding that many of us had perceptions of this very early in life, and it doesn't have anything to do with contemporary things that had come out since David Icke and Arizona Wilder and our own work. This has to do with people that had no knowledge whatsoever, even as children, would be able to perceive this, that there was different kinds of people, you know? So we talked about that and what's that about, and go figure, my phone is making all these noises. Sorry about the interruptions. It always happens when I'm on an interview. It's just like AI, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, you know, you have to actually read the article, because I wouldn't be able to talk about everything. It's so involved, but I'm really happy that she shared it, because it's so insightful with the Jungian lucid awareness of the archetypes and how this AI, we can call it the AI kind of thing, is starting to present itself and show its own image through our own dreaming states. And this is something that we might have talked about before, and I know I experienced years ago where when I came to the point of trying to face this head on with a lasered fury of, you know, persistence to face this demon or this, I don't know what you would call it, whoever was behind the abductions and the manipulation, and had many archetypal dream figures show up of like a hooded figure, a hooded male figure, always hiding out and watching in the background, and maybe shape-shifting images, and different things would come up. So if you read her essay, you'll see that she come across many of those same kinds of imagery. And I think it's part of a process, you know? So
yeah, and there are certain archetypal themes that do pop up. You know, the hooded man, the beings in hooded robes, the mm-hmm. and some of these beings, I mean, they are objectively real. They are there, not necessarily in our frequency, but in another one that has the means to interact and influence, malignly influence our frequency. And what I've come to notice also, Evie, talking about this AI / demiurgic force, if demiurgic is a word. We've known that these hyperdimensional and extraterrestrial entities have the means to essentially read thoughts, essentially know what's in our conscious and our subconscious. And mm-hmm. what's been going on is when people have a certain preoccupation, a worrying preoccupation in any facet of their life, take your pick, what this demiurgic AI force seems to do is it hacks their dream, and whatever they're worried about at that particular time, and there's a strong emotional component to it, they will just hijack the dream, and they will just hammer you with repetitive themes about whatever it is that you're worried about. And they have another, and this, what they've also been doing for a long time is they'll take these archetypes and they'll take these memes, and some of these memes can be completely fabricated, completely bogus, but because they passed into the mainstream and they're endlessly repeated by the media, by the school system, et cetera, these memes pass into people's dream state. And then these people will get this bogus notion of, oh, well, I went through such and such in a past life, or I went through something and I was victimized in such a way in a past life, and all this other stuff, when the whole narrative to begin with could have been bogus, right? But it just shows how they can exploit these persistent, what have become archetypal subconscious feelings, thoughts, and images, and exploit it for their own ends.
Absolutely. And they do have an agenda, which I, now when I look at a lot of the targeting phenomena, for example, and of course, this has been going on for a very long time. In fact, this is very ancient, because I was just coming across somebody who sent me the ancient Gnostic Cathars, a document related to Cathars and what happened in France, and how, you know, the ones who had the original Gnosis and kind of figured out the game plan of this whole demiurge and this manipulated reality, that they were persecuted by the church and burned to the stake. And so, you know, in the ancient times, they called it persecution, but now it's the targeting phenomena where the people are just, you know, off in some way, shape, or form. But what I've come to observe is that it's as if this targeting phenomena is on an automated program of extreme machine-like intelligence that's above and beyond a single person or a gang stalking group or even a V2K run by some organization that's got the technology. Although that's true, that does happen, but in the internal states, it seems as if it's automated to be triggered in certain states. And it will trigger fear, and it will trigger ways to stop your consciousness from becoming lucid. And so this is one of the things that Marit brought up in the interview, that prior she did the Malanga techniques, which were helpful in integrating her consciousness and discovering, let's say, the alien parasites and how they split her soul consciousness through trauma, which is trauma-based mind control. I lost the train of thought here, but...
Karada Malanga's techniques, and
yeah, I mean that's very relevant in terms of what had helped her uncover more and more realizations of what was going on in her consciousness, and then she got into deeper levels of observing the archetypes playing out with respect to an artificial intelligent innate aspect of our own being, which is very ancient. It's part of the ego mind states that she says is connected to the soul and the mind and the soul. So that is quite relevant, and there were layers of how we observe these Jungian, I guess she calls it layers of Jungian archetypes, like three main layers. And some of the layers would play out as certain themes, like let's say the MyLab ops dreams of the war and the training and the fear and the reptilian kind of stuff, as well as the cataclysmic things where they're beaming you with the cataclysms and making you feel guilty, right? That it's all your fault and this is going to happen to you unless you clean up your act, and trying to make you feel all guilty. And they're the ones like creating the program, right? Yeah. They're creating the program so that we recreate it in our creative abilities. And so she started to see the programming taking place on these very meta deep levels, and that at the deepest level, she was able to observe what she's calling the type of AI image or demiurgic figure, or she first called it the primordial man spirit, who would appear like a hooded, cloaked, dark male figure. But then that figure could also shape shift into sometimes a dark baby or an animal, and then the animal would have this like mechanical appearance. So it really depends on how our own natural awareness is trying to cue us in to recognizing the foreign nature of this artificial intelligence that's working through us. So she explained this, you know, in the ways that she was able to understand and do a self-study, which was very scientific. I mean, a lot of people may get overload from the scientific links that were provided in this article. It was a lot of scientific things, but it's really worth viewing in terms of getting a deeper understanding of how they're programming our minds on deep levels. And the return back to the point that I forgot, it had to do with the remember how she would wake up, let's say during an abduction. So let's say an abduction was going to take place and they were entering into her dream state, and her, quote, her soul became aware, and then it forced her to wake up to stop the abduction. And she mentions this in the article, in the interview, that one way to stop the abduction is you wake it up before they latch into that consciousness so they can't abduct you, or even in this uploaded reality or whatever they're doing. So she realized that she would have these repetitive waking up, but part of that waking up process actually stopped the lucid awareness from observing the entire thing from, let's say, from start to finish. It would actually stop the awareness process by forcing an awakening or a bright flash of white light. So this actually is very archetypically significant in terms of how our consciousness is being manipulated through programming and different ways in which they can do this to actually prevent the lucidity to observe this whole process and how it takes place.
Just to interject, so you're saying that what Marit discovered was she had set up this internal alarm clock, if you will, whereby mm-hmm. she would start to cue into lucidity and catch yeah. them before the abduction, entrancement, paralysis, etc. kicks in. But they kind of anticipated that after a while when she started yes. doing it. And then they mm-hmm. hit her with this kind of flash thing that kind of...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it would be like a forced thing. And so she actually provided a link that that shows that there is a type of stimulation in a certain part of the brain. I don't remember the exact name. But if that part is stimulated, it actually can cause a lapse in consciousness and a basically a going to sleep and not remembering anything, which could be some of how they're doing some of the mind swiping.
Yes.
With memories, that they can activate certain parts of the brain that actually completely swipe out the persistent awareness. So she was actually, you know, working in ways she could to observe how her natural awareness, which is part of this whole original thing, would come through to change the images and verbs and analogies that the AI was using in its own programming. And so that the natural awareness can override and actually apprehend this programming process as it's taking place, which is, it's really huge when you think about.
Yes, that would be a game changer, you know? were we to figure out a way to perfect that technique.
And I think this technique has been used, let's say, by yogis when they were practicing, let's say, dream yoga and lucid dreams and, let's say, certain types of meditation, which certain meditations you actually use your mind and in a focused kind of mental simulation, which is really not what she calls the lucid awareness of the original essence. So really, there's different forms of meditation until one is actually more ready to be calm and still enough to be in a state where you can actually be in a calm state of observation in a spacious kind of safe place, which is hard to do if you're somebody in a stressed life and you've got PTSD all over the place and you're having abductions. And, you know, most people would find that a luxury to even be able to do something like a meditation retreat. So it actually takes persistence. But I think, you know, even if you keep a dream journal and you start to just observe how you're feeling and what's going on in your everyday life, the kinds of patterns that repeat themselves, your relationships, the feelings you get, and all these things, how you start to recognize even like the handling phenomena, what we're calling some of the targeting/handling, when you know you've had experiences and you know you're being manipulated. You could feel it. You know it, right? And just starting to observe that process and the patterns that take place. And then, you know, noting it down and to, you know, observe the cause and effect and how this is taking place. So, yeah, I'll pause.
Another aspect of that I've experienced and others have described is, it could be, you know, the other side of the same coin, who knows, but when we're starting to wake up in the morning and we're trying to hang on to a memory of either of a, you know, the previous night experience, previous night dream, perhaps ET themed dream, whatever the case may be. We've talked about this before, Evie, where suddenly it's like a switch is flicked and they get a strong, overwhelming sexual lower chakra stimulation.
Yes.
And then suddenly the imagery of intercourse, of sex, of naked people starts popping into the mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And then what happens is they lose that shred of the dream, the shred of memory they were trying to pull back from the previous night. I mean, that's just, it seems totally to be a similar kind of thing.
They could use
the
all kinds of, distractions that, like bodily pain or thrashing around and not being able to relax, being agitated, or things even external to us. It depends, you know, once, you know, we've always said once we've really got a hold of our own stuff, we become a little more secure and observing dream states, then they start working your external world with, you know, maybe the people around you or your job or your computer, your emails, and they'll work with manipulating things around you and the handling. So it's like how we review this. We have to be careful. And she reiterated this point that trying not to take it personally when this targeting happens and the machinations of the artificial intelligence and this demiurge, whatever you want to call it, it's operating on a program that it appears to me now over the years that this is a nonstop kind of program that will implement itself, and it's on a, it would be like a car whose brakes have gone out on a downhill, and that this is like a out of control demiurgic artificial intelligence plan to actually eradicate the originals. So in a previous video that just came out yesterday, that Laura Leon and I did, we actually did a 3-part video on her experiences, which is direct perception, and memory of what she's calling this false construct inversion reality, and how this AI, ancient as well as the modern, is actually implementing itself. So we talked about how that's happening and how to observe it. And it's based on, you know, let's say the counterfeit spirit itself that the ancient Gnostics had described in some of the Nag Hammadi texts, which actually some of them are the Apocryphon of John and the Gospel of Philip, as well as probably others, which basically are pro-Jesus as the revealer. So there's a lot of the Gnostics that were very much knew a lot about what Jesus' true mission, and that's not even his true name, but his true mission of being here had a lot to do with how he recognized what was operating here in this reality. And so the nature of the counterfeit spirit is it's like this nonstop program intelligent force that Rudolf Steiner actually might have described as the Ahrimanic consciousness. And that is one that is, it's like a machine driven to copy and to control and to implement its program. So the whole video was really about how to identify the patterns and the true nature of the counterfeit spirit as was known in ancient times, and how we're observing it today, you know, and especially in the truth movement, the abductions, the targeting, the targeted bloodlines, and then seeing how that works. And once we can understand that and recognize what it is, it seeks to copy and copy itself, and also to corrupt and consume. Yes. But as it corrupts, it does so like in a step-by-step process, which you could pull it out and say, you know, this is what happened, let's say, to the Christian religion even. Let's say, you know, you had the original, who was Jesus, and he had his original teachings and the original organic nature of his presence. Even his presence alone created phenomenal changes in people's reality of how they even realize what reality is about and who they are. So the religion itself and his whole movement was spun into different directions after he supposedly died, and then eventually it was taken over by the Roman Catholic, and then it was, you know, spin controlled, corrupted, perverted, inverted, and then now what we see, of course, I know many Catholics would just be foaming at the mouth, but you know, we're seeing within the Catholic Church and a lot of these religious circles and these new predators, the satanic pedophile ritual abuse, where it's a complete and utter inversion of whatever the original was.
Yeah.
So we're seeing all that take place.
And probably what William Bramley in his classic book, Gods of Eden, referred to as the apocryphal religions that the ETs had foisted upon humanity was a classic example of that form of AI, because it locked people into this R complex, harshly patriarchal.
Yes.
And then anyone, especially women, an herbalist, a healer, seer,
we've been burned at the stake.
Talk about targeted individuals, right?
Yeah,
like we're talking millions. Like this lasted for centuries. It wasn't like
absolutely,
you know, like a week or a year in Salem, Massachusetts. This lasted for a long,
for hundreds of years,
and there were entire towns and villages in Germany that were absolutely denuded of females, girls, and women were all just wiped out. So that's an example. And then what you're seeing also today, Evie, what we're seeing is by the controllers bringing in and normalizing the harsh, misogynistic Sharia type religions and making like a thought crime and a hate crime to be critical of them in any aspect, right? That's another example. And look how the Saudi Arabians wound up being grotesquely on the UN Human Rights Commission, right? They have public beheadings, they have public, you know, lashings of women.
Oh my God.
Audacity to, you know, be raped, you know.
It's like deja vu, right? You
know? Yes. So what we're seeing, a harsh example of it. And what I'd like to point out, I'd like your thoughts on it too, Evie. Those are all very key points. What myself and my colleagues are starting to notice also is there seems to be some players that are starting to manifest in the perceptions of those of us who are in this field that are deeply involved in it. You talked about, and we've had stories for many years of the figures in hats, the Hat Man and the shadow beings and the hooded cloak.
The Hat Man. You mean like the MIBs with the hats and the black hats and the white hats?
Exactly. And also the shadow beings too. But also people have been starting to notice, and I wonder if Corrado Malanga had come across this in his work, is along the lines of the AI demiurge we were just discussing, the octopus type beings.
And the
octopus / spider spidey kind of thingy. Attach themselves to people's morphic field, attach themselves to different parts of people's energetic and physical anatomy. And also, you know, I've heard stories of these octopus thingies coming out of people's computer screens and,
that's right.
Stuff. Have you heard stories along those lines?
Yeah. In fact, there was a man that I interviewed who's from Croatia, Serbia, who actually he did a lot of really good graphic drawings of his implants and different things that he saw in his recovery process from alien parasites. And I think he used something similar to Malanga's technique with a therapist in Croatia. And she did an excellent job with him. She was actually a really good therapist. And he had talked about the Medusa being that he saw. And so there were archetypal types of beings that he saw that were attached, and then certain types of implants that had different functions and appearances that, you know, affected the chakras and how, you know, his life force was being stunted or drained from the higher centers. And I mean, it was pretty involved. But I think there's different figures that will show up, like spider beings. And he had a thing that was like a dark black goo shadow over his entire skeleton. But he perceived this in a, you know, in the subjective way, in a semi-hypnotic state, so to speak. But it almost reminded me of the black goo metaphor and the real black goo that Harold Katzfella talks about. And actually, Lauda had an experience with the black blood goo and inner blood where, you know, it was a severe medical crisis. So I think there's a lot of different ways that these things will metaphorically show up. And especially, you know, the octopus beings, that's huge. I mean, they have like cluster beings that, you know, work with thousands of people and suck off thousands of people in egregores and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we're starting to see more and more. I guess maybe it's a combination of these octopus beings and these spidey kind of beings not being as diligent about cloaking themselves or whatever on the one hand, and also people that, you know, we would tend to know, you know, raising their game, being able to raise their perceptual level to be able to recognize them and see them. Another thing that some of these parasitic AI demiurgic forces do is if one had suffered like a past life trauma, like they were stabbed in a battlefield somewhere, right? In a, you know, Agincourt or shot through with an arrow, right? What some of these AI bot things, organic, inorganic bot things will do, will attach to that part of their anatomy. Right?
Other
colleagues of mine have told me about this jellyfish looking thingy that attaches itself to certain parts of
yes anatomy. Actually, I've experienced that. Yeah,
it attaches itself to places where people have had past life trauma, which manifest in the current incarnation as certain types of symptoms, certain types of well-known diagnosable illnesses. Could you talk a bit about these jelly type thingies that you've
seen? It's funny. I experienced one of those actually. And it was almost like a globby, didn't really have much of a form, but almost jellyfish-like, almost like amoeba-like thing that would be like milking and trying to like suck on a chakra. And it was like an attached entity kind of blob thing, and just work on clearing that out. And I think that a lot of clearing has to do with if we could actually just become aware of it and then use our intention to get to the root of it and to eliminate it with full understanding of, let's say, how it got there and what is our co-creative process in this, if there was one, and then to be willing to be able to be present to understand how that happened, to completely eradicate it. Because sometimes these things actually come back like a spore or a mold, and you remove it and just comes right back like this weird program that won't stop. So some of them go away and some of them keep coming back. or they try to come back in different ways. And I find it amazing that, you know, you could stop a certain booby trap, but then they'll come up with another one. And then you have to work on as many levels as possible to get to the root. So another thing that has come up in my own experience and others is that not only in past lives, but you can get things from ancestors, and that sometimes you have ancestors who've gone through a certain trauma or even a blood oath. Let's say they were involved in a secret society or whatever. Then you can get entities and different kinds of physical ailments and energy body changes from those ancestral patterns. But there are ways that I believe that you can clear them through things like Qigong or different healing modalities, and that you could actually get to the root of that and actually help clear some of those patterns in your energy body and your genetics. So there's a lot more going on.
Definitely, yeah. Because we not only inherit genetic traits from our ancestors, but we also sometimes, like you pointed out, inherit whatever weird magical hoochie-coo they got involved with intentionally or inadvertently, yeah, or, you know, in a victimized fashion.
Yeah.
Pulled into. Yeah. And so it's a process of stripping away the layers. And
And
to use like a computer term, you know, plugins, just all these different mm-hmm. plugins.
Yeah, it reminds me of we discussed this on the video, Lauda Leone. It's going to be a 3-part video where we talked about all this stuff. We went into a lot of detail, but one of the things that I noticed with targeting, for example, targeting phenomena that's occurring through it appearing to be occurring through artificial intelligence and technology, and it would be like upgrades. You know how you like always get an upgrade on your phone or your computer, and it happens more and more and more and more. And then it gets to the point where some of these upgrades are almost as if it's like how they do implants to keep upgrading the programming in your consciousness to keep you from waking up to what they're really doing. And so, as we know, I mean, this has to do with the counterfeit spirit. And when we observe, let's say, how we're being targeted by a predatory, narcissistic person who's hosted, for example, and their behaviors, like gaslighting, for example. This is a narcissistic personality disordered kind of behavior that is well known in the circles who are, you know, recovering from this kind of abuse. But there are, as if there are AI programs and upgrades that occur that are operating as if they are gaslighting. And it actually has that theme, that narcissistic kind of psychopathic counterfeit spirit essence. Now, this is something that I've noticed with, you know, phone calls that happen just at the time when, let's say, you're taking a nap and you really need the rest, and then you get these goddamn automated phone calls of some stupid thing, right? A dumb automated phone call, or, you know, things going off in your cell phone right when you're doing an interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like
automated process upgrades, for example, happen.
The idiotic like Apple upgrades on your phone, and then like you tap on it, but they're clever because usually like the left side is don't allow or save it for later, the right side is, you know, do it now, and sometimes they invert that. So
exactly.
You're used to tapping one side for not now or maybe later, and then they switch it all around, and you tap it, and then it updates. Me is one of my best friends.
Oh, God.
We've got the same phone provider. We can't even be in combo. We can't even text each other anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I mean, we're on the same provider, and her son works for the provider, and he can't do anything about it. You see?
Yeah.
So that's an example where you just keep getting prompted and prompted, and then and we know from bitter experience, sometimes it's best not to update. But they trick you.
I know. And they trick
you
in
by accident.
Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. if your computer
yeah.
is a
and then you get a bill,
then it updates, and then wow, whammo, you know.
That's so funny. I mean, I caught on to this when I had to change my cell phone provider. And, you know, even from 1 year to the next, there's so many upgrades and changes, even on the almost a similar model of a smartphone. And it was one of those things where if you don't say no, then they'll automatically charge you $5 a month more for some kind of iCloud memory thing or whatever. And so they keep sending you this message, but they don't, it makes it unclear to pick the option to say no. So they make you go through all kinds of laborious steps, many, many different steps that won't work until you do at least 5 times to say no.
And it's
a complete racket. Yeah,
it is. And like what they try to do, and it irks me, but you said, like you pointed out earlier, oh, it's all impersonal. Don't let it get you goat. Don't let it piss you off. But yeah, it can piss you off at times.
Also, you hear me cussing at my phone.
Yeah, for example, how like Yahoo and all these free internet providers, they're always doing things for your own safety and security, right? And what they want to do is get in your kitchen. Oh, yeah, you know what? We're really concerned about your security, so give us your mobile phone number. Right, and, you know, and then if you're cheeky about it and you give them a fake mobile phone number, and then that makes it problematic later on when you try to get in because you're not going to write down a fake phone number. You know what I mean? So say they do all these things where you eventually knuckle under. Okay, here's my phone number. Here's this. Here's that. Here's everything you want to know about me.
Yeah.
Just so I can access my email.
Yeah. And they do that. Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to people and I've been talking to people, and now we're a number of generations into all this, into this AI. Is it germane to what we're talking about? Because we're able to observe this with the benefit of hindsight of all the work we've done in the recent past, you and I, and also with our various colleagues. When you look now at the way young people, and I'm not just talking about millennials, I'm talking about people even in their late 30s and going into their 40s. Mm. So there's been multiple generations have been
part
of this AI Borg collective thing now. Where
it's
perfectly normal now for teens and preteens to sit in their bedrooms and just text and Snapchat away with friends. It's like they don't even do the old-fashioned talking on the phone thing. Mm. Remember before mobile phones came along and we used to have to fight with our siblings to get phone time. You know, our parents would come mad at us, get off the phone, you know. But now it's like they just text each other. And, you know, they're going for that dopamine hit of getting the most likes for their pictures and for their updates and stuff. And what we're seeing is this depersonalization.
Yes.
Of human contact with one another being replaced by the digital devices.
I want to say something about that because it reminds me of a statement that Marit made on the artificial intelligence eco states and what it's doing. And this goes back to the counterfeit spirit's nature, which is basically psychopathic in nature, in lack of a better term. But instead of direct interaction with, it seeks to copy. And it has a whole different function it's psychopathic. But she noted that it's a similar thing happening because it's causing these same behaviors instead of a true interaction and real organic interaction communication, right? And socializing, there tends to be a several levels up of communication, which is limiting the communication to more not a completely organic level. So basically it's the counterfeit spirit is getting a better and better hold on how we operate. It's working through us more heavily, I think, through the technology. But I think that a lot of people who have been born and raised to use the technology, they don't know. It's normal to them to do this. They don't, like we knew in the old days what it was like to have real social circles where we actually had conversations and real organic interactions. We weren't always on the computer or on the cell phone even. And it was a different era where we could still interact on a social level. But something that I even noticed going to a college and where a lot of them were younger people in their 20s and 30s, that most of them didn't really socialize that well, and not maybe somebody who's like their parent, right? But they were mostly on their cell phones and interacting with texting with each other and not talking. There's not a lot of, I didn't see a lot of joyfulness or hand holding or, you know, like romantic gestures that you would see in college. There was like this look of seriousness and look of misery on their face and look of disconnection. And that, I won't say where I went to this college, but I was surprised at how they kept trying to force the students into always doing these group projects because maybe, you know, the teachers or whatever are finding that the young ones today have a hard time with social interaction and working in groups. So they keep forcing them to do these stupid group projects. But if you get in one of these groups with these young people who don't know how to communicate, they don't know the social graces, they're completely rude and they're I mean, I was actually floored at the lack of ability to communicate and interact on a effective way to actually get a project done. And it was completely frustrating on my end. I was like, you know, I like to get things done, and you know, I'm I guess, an entrepreneurial spirit where, you know, I'm driven. I want to get it done, and I'm going to do it this way. And I'm going to say, okay, let's do this. This is where we can do it more quickly. And they're just like looking at me like I'm crazy, you know?
What happened, you know, Kylie and I had someone stay over. I'm not going to say who they are and what the connection to us is, but it's a person that, like, in their early 30s, and they were totally plugged in to the Borg, you know, Android phone type collective, right? Mm. And, you know, like, as a guest in my own house, this person just sat, like, on the sofas or the recliners and, you know, down tapping away on their cell phone and just constantly just tapping away and not even speaking to me, not even interacting with me on a very basic social level. Like mm-hmm. being, I hate to use the term, the host, you know, having the person stay as a guest, right?
Oh, so, yeah, right, okay.
And then what happened was not only this person tuned me out and plugged right into their phone, but, you know, they expected to be driven all over the place. They expected to be taken here, taken there. And then I made the mistake, oh, yeah, you know, whatever is in the fridge, help yourself, right? So, like, I'm laying in bed and I'm reading, right? And I hear, like, this cooking oil just, like crackling and popping. And it's like, I'm, you know, oh, yeah, she said she was going to cook some fish. There was some fish fillets in there, right? And I just kept listening. And I just imagine she had this thing, the stovetop turned really high. And I just hear the oil popping. And finally, I went out there. I couldn't stop myself. I thought maybe she just forgot about it and went back to texting or something, you know? So long story short, I just went out, yak, how are you doing? You know, yeah, just whatever, you know? Then I went back to the room. The next morning, I woke up, I went out there. The kitchen tabletop, the whole bench was an oily mess. So this
person, oh my God,
didn't even have the grace, the courtesy, the dignity to clean up their own mess. Right.
Wow.
So the point we're making, folks, is this is part of that disconnect.
There is a disconnect. It's almost autistic.
Yes, it's almost a form of autism. And it's mm-hmm. we also see the social justice warriors, that aspect, the primordial rage aspect activated within mm-hmm. them by their professors mm-hmm. and by their peers and who their handlers are, essentially. Like, you notice they don't rage at the, you know, the banking cartel. They don't rage at, you know, the CIA rendition sites where all these people are being hauled off to be tortured. No. They're raging at somebody because they're wearing a belt buckle or they have a sign on, they have a bumper sticker. Yeah. It's like, it's all about just in your face, communist minded consciousness. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't reason with them. You can't say, well, why aren't you complaining
about
the banks? They just get irate and get angry because
political thing. Yeah.
Yes. That part of them, they've been turned into these angry droids. Just like in Star Wars, you had droids. There's a vacuum droid, this kind of droid.
Yeah.
Well, these are like angry droids, right? And so what we're seeing also, Evie, and it's right in your face. You talk about how the counterfeit spirit and the AI overlay is such. And Barbie Bartholik and Candy Turner said this years ago. They said the ETs control and manipulate every aspect of people's life, even people who have no belief in ETs, right? Yeah. And so what we're seeing that it started, well, it didn't really necessarily start, but the Abrahamic apocryphal religions that William Bramley talked about. And then nowadays you go to the media, and you talk about a false construct of reality with the media.
The thing about it is
how everybody believes it uncritically. Everyone believes
it. Oh, I know. Uncritically,
the fake news. The fake news. So what we're seeing is, and what they've tried to do, Evie, and I like your thoughts on this too, because, you know, it's germane to us in this field, how they've tried to sow confusion into our field by creating all these distractions.
Oh, you God. Talked about the
little thing earlier, right? Where, oh, the sky is falling and all this stuff.
Oh, yes, right. Eventitis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Please comment on that.
I remember somebody telling me years ago, it was a man who was in a high-level organized crime, what I call SRA, bloodline family, and he knew that the sky is falling programming. He called it Cassandra programming. And it is actually a type of programming to keep people on the edge of their seat, worried about the next event that's going to cause some kind of calamity. But in reality, we see that over time, things don't take place really in that shocking way. I mean, some events do, but they actually take more time to carry out their agenda. So if they keep us always on this hyped up level of, you know, what's the next calamity, we can't really focus on doing what we really need to do to prepare for if that is going to take place. And a part of it is predictive programming, which is a hijack of the AI consciousness to use our own creativity to basically carry out its script. And its script now, if you ask me, is to get rid of the originals, okay? To get rid of all that is actually good, and then pervert it, invert it, corrupt it all, what it usually does, and in this complete artificial construct of completely controlled, uploaded reality, which it's like, you know, a program gone wild, a virus that needs to be stopped. And I believe that and this is something Laura Leone and I have talked about a lot, that, you know, this needs an intervention. And then I think intervention needs to occur on supernatural levels to stop this process. That it's full speed ahead, actually. I mean, there are people who are wanting to bring awareness to others, but when you understand the nature of its programming and how well it does its job and how well it kind of evolves its own way of getting better and better at copying and controlling.
Mimicry.
So that we have to, the mimicry, the copying. So that is, you know, a wake-up call right there to, you know, what's the very most important thing that we need to actually do or not do to get back to our own power of observation with that natural awareness and really bring that full throttle to be more powerful to override the programming that is constantly taking place. And I've actually been aware of this occurring for a long time, how it actually has the subliminal and the imagery and everything that could happen in dreams. It could happen as a result of watching a movie on Netflix, for example, or being on your computer for a while and then noticing how it continues to implement its program. Plus any kind of alien abduction experience is programming, I think a lot of it is. So it's just recognizing that and getting into a space where you can be free of as many of those influences so you can kind of sort it out and recognize it and feel it for what it is, so that you don't necessarily have to beat it over the head or to, you know, kill those entities or whatever. It's more or less apprehending it with awareness and using the intention you have in your innate being to change the nature of its program so that it's ineffective in changing your true nature and your highest will of being here, whatever that is.
I would agree. And the highest will and the highest state of being does not involve rage. It does not involve unhealed rage. It does not involve, the spirit of accusation, right?
That happens a lot.
That happens in our field. And, you know, how important it is when you recognize this stuff. Okay, like I'm just thinking about buying a certain book. Oh, wow, it pops up in the sidebar of, you know,
not only
on this email, but on this email and, you know, on Facebook and on Twitter. It's like, okay, well, that happened. You know,
I'm
not going to feed into it. Oh, they're trying to manipulate me into buying a book, you know, which I want to buy anyway, right? So,
but they can. The capabilities are much more than what we think in terms of the invasiveness in consciousness. Yeah.
And the 5G rollout is going to, like, really amp up that whole process because it's going to affect people energetically. It's going to, I believe, it's going to create rends and rips in our, what the mainstream physicists call space-time, to allow more of these entities in, because I feel that the AI demiurgic aspect, a big part of that is to reduce us to our most base primordial level, where we're just like insouciant, apathetic, at times sadistic sex machines, just like sexually assaulting everything.
Addiction,
addiction and obsessed and everything else. And so by opening up, you know, these rips and rents in space-time and allowing more and more people who already have a predisposition, and also because of their being plugged into the digital devices, to be opened up and be taken up as host, right? What I'm seeing now,
porn addiction,
you know, it runs the gamut. And I sent you the, some of the text of what this rage-filled person sent to me, you know, a few weeks back.
Oh, really? I don't think I got it, but you might have to resend it to me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. resend it to me. Yeah.
This freak show person.
Refresh my memory.
Who, you know, in the name dropping, name dropped you, name dropped other people, right?
Uh-oh. Okay.
And you know, because I wasn't feeding into whatever her agenda or whatever the program working through her wanted, right? Because I trust what my sensors tell me. I knew there was something wrong with this. It felt like deep, dark energy, right? And because, I had a total of 3 email or Facebook message transmissions with her, right?
Oh.
And, you know, on my part, they were perfunctory, really, and I encouraged her, and I really meant to encourage her and all that. But because I didn't want to do what she wanted, right? Suddenly, it's like the switch was flipped, and then she just sent me this nasty gram. And then what was interesting about it was all the things that we talked about thus far, and it's a good point to leave in the first segment, the extreme narcissism, the unhealed rage, the grandiosity, or this person was saying, "Well, I'm part of this, you know, alien lineage, and you stupid humans, we have to help you. You're so incapable, stupid of helping yourself." It's like, who would want help from an unhealed, rage-filled person who professes such things, you know, in the first place, right? So
it's very difficult. Yeah,
it's difficult, and it goes back to the fact that there are so many people with different programs working through them. And this one, it was the Avenger programming. It was the what I call the Princess Leia programming, right? We're here to save you, you stupid, insignificant humans. I hate being here, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some troll tactics even today. And these are real common on, let's say, after you do one of these videos, which we did, and sometimes, like, a troll will say, well, they'll compliment one person and then completely make derogatory and vitriolic comments about the badness of the other person. So they're trying to, like, raise one up and then crash one down to create division of the two, whoever sharing information, to try to make one person look like, you know, they're real bad. And then going into the accusation mode of, because part of the discussion was, we're talking about the originals and the reals versus the counterfeit, which, you know, can go into the whole organic portal thing and the copies. But what's unfortunate is sometimes the trolls and the ones who are unrecovered will take this as an opportunity to accuse even more. So they may take truth and they'll do a, you know, compliment someone, like they raise you up and then they crash you down and then they create the division and chaos. So it's a tactic that these trolls use, and these people who are unrecovered, they can't help themselves, but
they can,
you know, usually behind you'll sense the energy. It's like this vitriolic, it's actually a vitriolic hatred, which, you know, it actually goes above and beyond even the gender of the person doing the thing. I mean, you could read it, and it's usually it's an agent of someone who usually you could trace it back, right? It's usually the agent of using a notional identity of a new predator cult leader type of person that, let's say, is doing similar work, but they want the business or they want to make you bad and them right, so they can steal all the clients, or because they've been exposed in some way because of the content of the discussion. And we're not people who name names, but we define categories and dynamics and patterns so that, you know, a person listening could be able to pick up, okay, so now I know what this is, and that's what that person is, but we're not going to name names.
Yes, you don't need to do that, and you know, this person was an arch name dropper, right? And I mean, the person should have done their homework and realized that you and I are close friends going back decades and previous incarnations, you know. So that I thought that was kind of funny. And there was another aspect of that I've seen with these unhealed males who've contacted me, you know, the kind of work we do, Evie, it's very difficult being empathic people and compassionate people to not, to some degree, become
emotionally invested. Take on their stuff.
Take on their stuff, become emotionally invested, because we are caring, empathic people, but we have to maintain that professional reserve. We can't just, you know, if they want us to go into a crying session with them, we can't do that for every single person, We can't do that, especially when you're multitasking. When I've got 30 minutes, and then you're actually in comma with three or four different people on Facebook Messenger or Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm off Facebook right now.
Yeah, and I haven't done that in a while. But it's a story that's worth telling, because you know I was in comma with people that I needed to be in comma with, because you know interacting.
Well, because you have a radio show, you have to do that.
Yeah. And the thing about it, you know, getting back to the previous person, if I'd done that to every single person, I think this is worth a commentary too on my part, where if I didn't, you know, get a response, you know, in two or three days, or I didn't get the kind of response I wanted from someone, if I asked them to come on my show, and I understand, I've blown people off when they try to get me on their show, right? So I know what it feels like, right? And then for me to go, you know, send them a nasty gram, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, because I didn't get what I wanted from them, right? And then presume that I'm some kind of avenger to save the stupid human race, right? On top of that, claim that I'm from some kind of claim that I'm some kind of ancient alien lineage in the Princess Leia syndrome, right? And you know, this other person I was talking about, in this case, it was a male. It was like, okay, I was engaged in a chat with him on Messenger, and he was, you know, telling me about all the victimization he'd you know been subjected to in past lives by the Draco and other beings, and you know, I was like, yeah, well, you know, I was trying to remain neutral, right? And you know, but I was encouraging him to talk and share whatever he's comfortable with, but because I wasn't giving him the emotional
component,
because I wasn't like in a cybernetic digital sense crying and being angered and going through the gamut of emotions with him, it was frustrating him. He said, don't you understand what I'm talking about? You know, I can't do all these stuff. I can't do what I want to do in this life because of what the Draco and other beings did in past lives to me, you know? And the funny thing about it was he was encouraging me to get in combo with a guy that I knew was a Draco just because I felt the guy's energy. Right. So here he is. Complaining about being victimized by the Draco in his past lives, and because I'm not giving him the emotional, upheavals that he wants, right?
The feeding, right?
And then he goes and says, "Well, you know, you really need to get in combo with this guy because such and such." But the other guy he's talking about is a Draco, so he can't even in this incarnation. He can't even. Yeah, the other guy was on the black magic and stuff, and it's like he can't even recognize the energy, right?
Yeah, he
can't because that's why I didn't engage really that first woman, you know, the Princess Leia woman, because I felt there's something discordant about this woman, and I'd rather find out in the early going, Evie, and then down the track when she just goes nuts and you know puts out all these nasty grams.
Yeah, I know.
All this hate. I'm sure you went through the same thing.
It's hard. It's hard as a public person. And then I try to give people the benefit of the doubt and actually have been very hurt. Because a lot of times, like the borderline personality disorder types, they'll flatter you. And then the moment that you don't give back what they want, then they actually slander you and then really act mean. And they're like, whoa, what happened? Like a switch was flipped to turn like the opposite way. And you just have to be really careful. And that's why I've had to set more boundaries so I can actually focus more on what I really need to do that I feel is more important for the long run. And that makes people unhappy that I can't be present for them to be their, you know, their shoulder to cry on.
And that's the thing. Always be there. You know, that's the thing about it, Evie, too, because, you know, we have to live in this world. We have to, you know, survive and thrive in this world. And, you know, we've only got so much time like everyone else. But if we don't, you know, latch on to these people and devote ourselves 24/7 to what they want, it's like to them, it's the ultimate betrayal. Then you're a coward.
And betrayal. Yeah.
Then you're a double agent. And then all this unhealed rage.
Every accusation under the sun.
Every accusation. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't want to belabor the point, folks, but those of you out there, you know, that are in this field and want to do more of this kind of work, right, because you've gone through the necessary amount of healing and everything else, you're going to come across this. So anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with my dear friend, Evie Lorgan. Evie, could you mention your email and rather your website so the people can find your work?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's simple. It's evelorgan.com or alienlovebite.com is still working. And then my two books, The Love Bite and The Dark Side of Cupid, are both available through Amazon. And you can find information on my website about that. And there's also a Facebook group called Alien Love Bite, although I don't moderate it, but there's still discussion, and I make sure that my posts go on there as well. So.
And what we're going to, in part, what we're going to talk about in the second segment is the alien love bite and how to wean yourself off from it, because that's a subject that has, you know, come cycling back, people having challenges.
It never ends, really.
It never really ends.
They're always going to try.
Catch, you know, from the person that they've been, you know, paired up against. So anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating segment with my colleague and dear friend, Eve Lorgan. This is the Cosmic Switchboard Show, James Bartley. If you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.